kind enough to make time for us, Brent Baird. Brent, it's been a what a crazy week of college football from 11 o'clock Central Time for us, for Oklahoma and Texas, a four-touchdown comeback, all the way till about 10 or 11 at night with Alabama.
Well, it was amazing. There's no doubt about that. That's not even counting the Arkansas-Ole Miss game, which was easily one of the greatest games that we've seen in the league in quite a while.
It was. I feel like, is it just me, or when those two teams meet, it always seems to be one of these insane games?
Yeah, there's no doubt. And he's getting some criticism, but I don't think he regrets at all that he went for two at the end of the game. I mean, as quickly as Ole Miss can score in overtime, he probably knew he couldn't get that done. So credit him for that, which was incredible. And to dovetail what you said, I agree. How unfortunate for Miami now, Derek King out for the year, which is amazing. And also this afternoon, we find out that Boutte, the LSU wide receiver, one of the best in the league, he's now out for the year. So and then that's the last thing that Orgeron needed with his job hanging on the, but maybe by a thread.
Where would you put right now the Mike Norvell meter after four losses? It just is going spiraling downhill. They can't really fire him just based on finances and not having a backup plan. And after the whole debacle with Willie Taggart, it would just make the whole organization, everybody, look bad. But when it comes down to it, he gets back-to-back wins. I mean, they've looked like a good team. Jordan Travis is the guy right now. I mean, Mackenzie Milton, it was a great story, but just like Alex Smith, it was almost impossible to think it was going to last forever. And when it comes down to Jordan Travis, he scores five touchdowns. They beat a North Carolina team that's just not a good football team. Sometimes they get it wrong. We all get it wrong in the business, and nobody saw them being not a top 10 team. They're really not a top 50 team in the nation. And after watching that game, though, do you feel there's a Florida State turnaround? Because I'm not going to be the one to say it after what we thought was a turnaround in Notre Dame in the second half.
Well, it's premature right now. You've got an off week at this point, which they will need. But what has happened is really Jordan Travis has taken the reins of the quarterback situation. He was 11 to 13 for 145 and also ran for 121. So easily the most valuable player in the game. So with the lights come on for him compared to what we saw in the Notre Dame game, Josh Corbin, the A&M transfer, by the way, is doing really well. He's third in the ACC with 550 yards plus. And listen, they got down 10 to nothing and then scored 21 points in the second quarter, which is something that FSU would not have done as of late. And listen, Jermaine Johnson, the transfer defensive end, now has almost six sacks. So the job that he has done has been amazing. Still, FSU has a worse scoring defense in the ACC, allowing 30 points a game. So it's not getting fixed soon, is it, Chad?
No, not at all. Not at all.
I was going to ask you, Brent, about – so I'm coming up this week, obviously, we got Kentucky and Georgia, which I think game day is going to be there for that one. Is there any conceivable chance that Kentucky has to actually pull this game off? I think Georgia is clearly the number one team in the country based on what we've seen and how good they've been. Is there any chance that Kentucky can pull this off, or does that seem like a pipe dream for Big Blue Nation to get that win?
I still don't think they could, but if they can, I think it would be because they can run the ball with Chris Rodriguez and Kabosi Smoke. He leads the SEC in rushing, Rodriguez does, and and Smoke and Wandale Robinson has played really well LSU was almost hapless against them. The Bases just kind of gave up, unfortunately. But look, because they do have a pretty stingy defense, guys, I think they'll give Georgia more trouble than Auburn did.
Speaking with Brent Baird of College Sports Notebook, you can follow him on Twitter at Brent Baird, B-E-A-I-R-D. Now, Brent, with the Florida Gators, they play Vanderbilt, so I'm not going to insult them too bad, but I guess I will. It was sort of a bye week. But when it comes down to getting ready, you play against – you get Anthony Richardson. He comes in there. His stats were not good for the first time, but he's thrown into cleanup duty. How much to take from this? Because you know there's somewhere where Dan Mullen internally is smiling just based on that. Even if – it's like he's winning the battle, he was going to win the game, but – every week that Emory Jones looks good and Anthony Richardson makes a bad play, then it makes, sadly, I don't know why you'd root against one of your players. I'm not saying he is, but he wants Emory Jones and he wants him to do well because he's made that clear. What did you take from the quarterback situation this week at Florida?
Well, it really is unfortunate for Anthony Richardson, 4 of 6 for 25, 5 of 11. And again, I'm really not sure. There's so much that we don't know right now about this battle beyond that. Emory Jones is going to be the guy, but there's no doubt about that. He was 14 to 22, and frankly, he did okay. He's already surpassed 1,000 yards passing right now, so a tribute to him for that. But you're not going to really know about Richardson until he gets to play more, which is unfortunate that that's not going to happen. They'll have an easy win this week, if I can say that, because they may actually be truly motivated in order to win the game because of the LSU fiasco from last year. The shutout was nice, but again, I'm with you. It was Vanderbilt. Also, but yet they needed to win. They again have too many penalties, and Mullen seemed to light in a lot of people and hold them more accountable as far as the coaches are concerned. He's still a horrible halftime and postgame interview, and that's a problem. Naquan Wright stepped up. So the bottom line is, they'll beat Vanderbilt, they'll beat LSU, they'll feel a little bit better about themselves going into the break before they play Georgia.
I have to jump in on this Alabama-Texas A&M game. So I'm not going to say that I don't think anybody predicted this, but I was pretty surprised that Zach Calzada seemed to play almost the game of his life. I mean, from what he had looked the past few weeks to what he looked like on Saturday – they were going up and down on that Alabama defense, Brent. Is this a loss where the only way Alabama can get in is to win out, including beat Georgia? And how much does Alabama losing to Texas A&M, who have already got two losses and may even lose again, how does that impact Alabama's chances on getting in, even maybe with one loss?
If they run the table and beat Georgia, they'll get in. Because they will have won the SEC and they will have rebounded. So in the eyes of the committee, that would still get them in. This game was just mystifying, frankly, in a lot of ways. As you said, that no one saw this coming. Calzada was nowhere near. He basically had an out-of-body Stephen Garcia experience from South Carolina in 2010 against Alabama. And when they lose, listen, when they lose, there's going to be about 15 things go wrong. And basically, for virtually all of them did. From the you block a punt, then you kick off, and it's returned for a touchdown. And then you've got Jaleel Billingsley, who is one of the better tight ends in the league. He has nothing but zeros because he dropped passes basically the entire game. So, in But they've had a lot of injuries, like Drew Sanders at linebacker. They need to get him back. And look, they have got a lot of work to do. I mean, they could have lost to Florida. They did not. And they held them there. They actually got the lead. And you would think that they would have either, if they could have made one play defensively, A&M, to their credit, came down the field, scored, tied it up. Then Alabama gets the ball back. I think everybody thought that they would just run the down the field and either kick field goal or score, but they were three and out. There's no doubt that it was a big game and a big win for A&M. But yeah, and look, Bama's got Mississippi State and a resurgent Tennessee for the next 2 weeks before they're off before playing LSU. So, I mean, guys, the reality is there's nothing guaranteed for them right now.
That might be the biggest concern, it truly, is how the defense has looked going up against two offenses where Mississippi State is top five in terms of passing yards per game, and Tennessee looks like they're able to light up the scoreboard with what Josh Heupel's done. Is Alabama still would you put them in the top four just given, yeah, they lost, but with how shaky Oklahoma seems to have been, would you keep Alabama in that top four, or do you think that the AP poll got this one right?
Well, I mean, they're at five, which is pretty close to that. And look, all that will take care of them. Say, if I know you have a lot of Alabama fans in the area, and they've gone through this before. Alabama can beat everybody on their schedule right now, I think, except Georgia. Even though the Auburn game's on the road, but it helped them to go to Florida. It helped them to go, obviously, to A&M. But, guys, the defense really won't be fixed until the end of the year. I'm not saying they are, but they're going to have to look at very possibly making a change at coordinator from Pete Golden. He's been there about 3 years now, and frankly, it just really has not worked. I think Nick Saban thought that he could mold Golden into another Kirby Smart or Jeremy Pruitt. And that has just not been the case. Now, hopefully they will, for their sake, get Drew Sanders back at linebacker. And then Malachi Moore going out after that targeting call really hurt the secondary. He would have been a real help during that game. But guys, there's no question. They've got to do two things. Well, they've got to do a lot, but they've got to do two things. They've got to develop a power running game from the 10-yard line on in. There's no excuse why Alabama can't score from the 4-yard line when they're first and four, but they threw three passes and kicked a field goal, which in this league you just cannot continue to do. They played really well defensively against Ole Miss. There was a lot of motivation there that they were ready to play. And frankly, that they were flat, and for whatever reason, really, they were not ready to play against A&M. Still could have won the game, but answer to his question, are they still top five team? I think they are, but you cannot ignore the difficulties they've got right now.
He's Brent Baird of College Sports Notebook. Brent, we could talk all day. There's so many games right now and the storylines, but we got to take a break here. It is always great catching up with you, and I hope we can do this again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. And kudos to Iowa for that huge win for them too. Right, Chan?
Hey, huge win. And you know what? We've got Michigan State, the whole state of Michigan's like everybody just forget about us. We're all 6-0 out here. So which usually they'd be barking the loudest right now. So it's crazy how things have changed in college football. But UCF, all I'm going to say is, Gus, you can go back to the SEC right now. So that's all I'm going to say. But Brent, have a great rest of your day. And congratulations, by the way, with your daughter.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
That's awesome.
She's happy. That's all that matters. And I'll end with go Braves.
Go Braves right there. And go Sox. I'm not sure you're going to reside with those sentiments, but for me, go Sox.
No, I agree with that.
Okay.
Very much. Yeah.
Okay. I like go Braves too. And Jock Peterson, wow, 3 for 3 with 2 home runs. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That's incredible. So, yeah, go Braves and go Sox, Brent.
That's right. Thank you, guys. Take care.
Thank you, Brent.
Sure.